J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Here we are with Billy Bob Thornton. Okay, it was 2 years ago. I came out to California to interview you for the movie Sling Blade, and I walk into the room and you're wearing a Cardinal baseball hat. I didn't know you from Adam. You didn't know me from Adam. We started talking about the Cardinals. Probably every interview you did, including Siskel and Ebert, network shows, everything, you wore that Cardinal baseball hat. Let's explain to people in St. Louis how this got started.
Well, I've been a Cardinals fan since I was old enough to know what baseball was. That's my team, always has been. And Bob Gibson's been my hero since I was 2 feet tall.
And tell everybody, you just came from the locker room where you got a chance to meet him. What'd you guys talk about?
I didn't know what to talk about. It was kind of like when I did my play-by-play in Toronto. The Cardinals were playing in Toronto, and I was working there, and Jack Buck had me come in. It was real nice. I got to meet Mike Shannon. They had me do play-by-play, and my play-by-play just consisted of, I said, strike one. That was it, and then I froze up and couldn't do anything else. I was kind of the same way with Mr. Gibson in there. I told him he was my hero, and had a few pictures made with him, told him I learned to pitch out of his pitching book, and he said, well, my pitching book didn't show you how to pitch. It kind of told you how, but it didn't show you. And I said, well, I used to pitch through a tire when I was a kid, and I would practice from your book. And he said, a good thing about tires, they can't swing.
So this, I guess, goes all the way back to the days of living in rural Arkansas, and the Cardinal broadcast is just kind of booming in at night.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody in Arkansas is a Cardinal fan. I mean, that's just the way it is, because, you know, we didn't have a pro team there, and the Travelers are there, the farm club for Cardinals, and it was just, you know, something we kept up with.
How are you doing in following the exploits of Mr. McGuire this year?
Well, you know, I like Mark a lot. He's such a nice guy, and I would never want to say anything about it. I don't think I've ever said a word to him about this whole thing. I just don't like to jinx stuff, you know.
Don't talk shop, don't jinx it.
I've never talked to him about it.
And now you will see the ball game here today, get back on the bus and head back for more shooting in Arkansas, and tomorrow morning you'll get off the bus and wonder whether any of this really happened.
Exactly. I'm still kind of in a daze, and I'm even like back here behind the scenes at Busch Stadium is amazing to me.
Hold up the ball. You got a ball in your hand right now. So this is going to be the one you're going to throw out the first pitch?
The one I'm going to throw out the first
pitch.
We're
going to see like a split finger or something?
I doubt that. My hand's not very big. I'm going to try a little hard slider, you know?
Cool. I'll get out of the way.
Yeah. You may want to get way out of the way.
Billy Bob Thornton, a pleasure to run into you again. Have a great day here at Busch Stadium, and best of luck to you.
Thanks.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, October 28th, 2022, 11 days until the beginning of the end of our political system. 11 more days. Colbert is going to be live that night. That is going to be a scream. How you doing, kids? You're at JCOnTheLine.com. I don't even know where to start. This Tom Brady story is now officially American folklore. This isn't even really just a sports story anymore. If you're not a football fan, let me just explain something to you. In like 50-100 years from now, this is probably how this story is going to be taught, perhaps in schools. At the absolute minimum, it's going to be, as I said, American folklore. I mean, just think about what we are witnessing right before our very eyes. You know, in the case of Albert Pujols, you know, we find out at the beginning of the season that his longtime wife, Dee Dee, is bailing out. So what happens? Albert just channels that energy into having one of the great seasons in the history of baseball for somebody over the age of 60. As you know, I am a believer that Albert Pujols' age has been, shall we say, undercalculated. But anyhow, so you got that story. But then you switch it to football, and you've got arguably the greatest football player ever to play the game. Certainly the greatest of all time in the quarterback position. The wife comes along and says, Tom, I want you to quit. I've been taking care of the kids for so long. And yeah, you've heard this story. Tom says, okay, I'll retire. 40 days later, he says, you messed up. You trusted me. And he comes back to play football. The wife, the supermodel wife, who, by the way, you got to watch out for a chick who's got her own money. You know, she's also, I think she's 42, maybe 44, and she has about $400 billion in the bank. Tom Brady has about $250, okay? So she's got her own money. And like Heidi Gardner's character on Saturday Night Live on Weekend Update,
I'm taking the kids and I'm going to my sister's.
And so Giselle, and by the way, don't ever trust a woman whose name begins with jizz. Good morning, everybody. But anyhow, this is incredible. Tampa lost again last night, 27-22. They're now 3-5. This is Tom Brady's first three-game losing streak in 20 years. Now, if I'm Tom Brady, I go to Giselle and I go, haven't you seen these games? Haven't you watched me in these games? You could make the argument that I did stop playing about a month ago. Good morning, everybody. What's he going to choose? Which way is he going to go? How are they going to work this thing out? Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of the Daytime Drama. When I put my hands between your legs, it wasn't a sexual thing. I was just trying to recreate reps in football practice. Got a hell of a football game Sunday night. The Sunday night game, Buffalo hosting the Green Bay Packers. Wow. Wow, what a game. They call it, you know, they always like to call it the game of the week. This is the game of the week. And while that's going on, the World Series kicks off tonight. Phillies and Astros, according to polling, 59% of America polling for the Phillies, 41% rooting for the Astros. The average World Series ticket right now costs $2,800 in Philadelphia, about $1,100 in Houston. Minimum ticket price for game one on Vivid Seats, $419. The Phillies spent more money to get to this point, $3.1 million per regular season win compared to $1.98 million for the Astros. And they paid their players more, $267 million compared to the Astros' $209 million. Phillies organization is worth more, $2.3 billion compared to $1.98 billion for the Astros. Of course, the Yankees are worth $6 billion. They're the second most valuable franchise behind the Dallas Cowboys. But the Astros have the highest paid player of the two teams. They gave Jose Altuve $29 million this year. Bryce Harper was Philly's top earner at $27.5 million. Astros won their last World Series in 2017. Phillies, 2008. The American League has the edge with 66 World Series wins. National League, 51. Cost of a 30-second commercial during the World Series, $290,000. For this year's Super Bowl, it was $7 million. The 2021 World Series generated about $235 million in ad revenue, while this year's Super Bowl made $481 million. And this stat, the absolute minimum, should get your attention. For the first time since 1950, shortly after Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, no U.S.-born black players are expected to play in the World Series. None. A bettor in Colorado placed a wager back in April on the Astros to beat the Phillies in the series. He bet $50. If he wins, he collects $125,000. And this guy who had a mattress store right around the corner from the radio station I worked at in Houston back a couple of years ago, his name is Mattress Mac, is an old guy. He does tremendous amounts of charity work. This mattress and furniture chain that he has all around the Houston area has been enormously successful, and he does these really sort of far out commercials. He's a little on the nutty side, but he makes so much money, and donates so much of it to charity. When they had the floods and stuff like that, he let people come into his stores and use the furniture to live on while their homes were being destroyed. And so Mattress Mac, he bet $10 million on the Astros. His payout would be $75 million. As the rich get richer. Which brings us to Elon Musk, who says Twitter won't become a free-for-all hellscape. Those are his words. Under his watch, it looks like, at least if you believe his previous statements, that Donald Trump will end up back on Twitter. Quentin Tarantino is making the rounds lately. He's got some new stuff that he's doing, and he was on with Jimmy Kimmel the other night.
What's the biggest movie, the most well-known or well-respected or whatever movie that you've never seen?
Oh, there's a few.
Because when I read this book, I feel like you know everything that has ever been put on a screen.
I've never seen Sound of Music.
What?
Yeah, I've never seen
Sound of Music. Wow.
I've never seen Sound of Music.
Wow. I'd love to watch that with you.
So would I. I apologize to those of you who have already heard this story because I've talked about it on the air and on the podcast a couple of times, but I was doing an interview with Quentin Tarantino maybe 2 years after Pulp Fiction came out, and I'm sitting there with him, and I say to him, what was the inspiration for that scene with John Travolta and Uma Thurman when they're at a restaurant bar where he gets the milkshake and the cheeseburger and they're dancing and everything like that, and the whole place has like a dead celebrity theme. Ed Sullivan, Marilyn Monroe, Jane Mansfield. Is there a place like that somewhere here in Southern California that I should know about? And he gave one of the most amazing answers I've ever heard to a question like this. He said, well, first of all, Vince Vega may have just imagined that. Boom! 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 My ears just about started spinning on the side of my head. But he's talked with us in subsequent interviews about that whole idea of what you take away from certain scenes in his movies.
The only answer you have ever given with regard to what was in that briefcase that they were trying to deliver to Marcellus, I have heard you say something Marcellus wanted.
I haven't changed my answer. The thing is, I get asked it a lot. And by the way, it never bothers me when people ask me that because it's like, wow, that really worked. You know, you're so used to go to a movies and they just glaze over you and you can't even remember what it is you saw by the time you got to your car, all right? So people ask me what's in the briefcase. It's kind of cool. If I wanted you to know, I'd have told you. I ain't shocked. I don't want to tell anybody because I want you to tell me. I like the idea that if a million people go and see a movie of mine, that they all made a million slightly different little movies in their head.
Once upon a time in Hollywood, terrific movie with an ending that I wish he would have reconsidered. You know, one movie where you say, okay, I'm going to change the ending of a famous historical event, being World War II and Hitler and all that sort of stuff in Inglourious Basterds. Great, great idea. It's really the fresh idea. But you don't come back in the next movie and do it again. But boy, up until the last 10 minutes of Once Upon a Time in America, or in Hollywood rather, amazing movie. And Brad Pitt's so good at it. And I love the Bruce Lee scene. Can I make some suggestions? Some of these you've heard before, probably all of them you've heard before. Halloween, instead of, it's all goofed up again because Halloween is on a Monday, so when do you have the parties and when do you go trick-or-treating? Do you have the parties on the weekend? Do you wait till Monday night? Or, you know, when should the kids go out? And it's just, it's really, really confusing. Just do it like Thanksgiving, okay? Thanksgiving is always the last Thursday of the month of November, and nobody seems to have any trouble with that, all right? So why don't we just move Halloween to the last Saturday of the month of October and just leave it at that. That would make so much sense. It's like the same people who say make the Super Bowl almost like a national holiday, put it on Saturday, make it Saturday instead of Sunday, because then you don't have all sorts of people trying to figure out some way to sober up and go to work on Monday morning. Super Bowl doesn't start until like 5:30 in the evening, and by the time everything is over and you're just sort of sitting there scraping up little bits of prime rib to put in your pocket and take home from your big Super Bowl party, just make it Saturday. And then finally, every year, the politicians say, you know what? The people have spoken, and everybody just hates daylight saving. They despise it. Not the daylight saving part in the summer, but when you have to set the clocks back and forth and all this sort of stuff, just get rid of this archaic idea that people don't even remember what the real reason was for having daylight savings and just get it over with. Let's take the sunlight and get on with it. No, they won't do that. We've got a rule on partial birth abortions. Thanks, because that affects all of us. One more note with regard to sports. Al Michaels again last night. This guy's like in his mid-70s. He's like 76 years old. He is an amazing person to listen to on these Thursday night football games. The guy has not lost a step. There are certain broadcasters who are good right to the end. Vin Scully comes to mind. I think Ernie Harwell sounded great right up until the end. Then you got Harry, then you got Harry Carey, whose cognitive ability seemed to start waning in the 1950s. Now, I'm just kidding. Harry was really, really good up until about the early 1980s, and then he started to imagine things on the screen. He was doing the scoreboard show once after the game and saw SD for San Diego and referred to it as South Dakota, because everybody knows that big South Dakota baseball franchise has been so good for so long.
Harry Carey back at Bush Memorial Hospital. There is the Cubs defense.
Right, Harry. Bush Memorial Hospital. And speaking of voices, you know, Al Michaels, they ran that commercial last night with Morgan Freeman doing the voiceover. I'm telling you, I can't think of anybody who's ever been better at commercial voiceovers than Morgan Freeman. That whole narrating thing that he does, he's just got that down. It is amazing. You know, maybe James Earl Jones a little bit, but Morgan, I stop what I'm doing when I hear Morgan Freeman's voice coming out of my TV. I stop what I'm doing and I watch. And if that isn't worth whatever they pay him, I don't know what is. It's like that. It's like that old Saturday Night Live bit on Weekend Update. They had a guy by the name of Finesse Mitchell.
With the Oscars just 1 week away, Million Dollar Baby is generating quite a buzz with its 7 nominations. Here to talk about his nomination for Best Supporting Actor, Mr. Morgan Freeman. Mr. Freeman, are you there?
I couldn't believe it was happening. Me, Morgan Freeman, about to do Weekend Update.
Mr. Freeman, where are you?
Give me a second. I'm narrating. Here I am.
Aww, there you go.
Thank you kindly for having me, ladies.
Oh, our pleasure, Mr. Freeman. Congratulations on your nomination. You must be very excited.
Well, as always, I'm honored. But it's not the first time I've been nominated for an Oscar playing the role of for a white person's friend who just narrates the film and just the same old, kind of old hat for me. I've made a career out of helping white folks solve their problems in movies, saving their lives, giving them advice, but no more, no sir. I think it's time Morgan Freeman helped himself. And I'm not talking about saving the world. I'm not talking about making people laugh. I'm talking about a grade A, flat out, no holds barred love scene. I wanna get freaky with some young hottie like every other leading man over 50. Hell, I'm running out of time. No more advice like get busy living or get busy dying. I just wanna get busy. Period. I don't wanna be driving Miss Daisy. I wanna be riding Miss Daisy. And you know, come to think of it, I've made 15 films with Ashley Judd. What's a brother got to do to get some of that? So please, if anybody's listening, just write me a script where there's a love scene. And when you see me in the bed, I'll show you a true Oscar-winning performance.
Morgan Freeman, everybody!
Oh, and speaking of Saturday Night Live, St. Louis comedian Chris Redd, who was on the show for a couple of years, assaulted outside of a comedy club in New York City. He said his limo or car, you know, whatever it was he was pulling up in, he gets out and a guy who was dressed as a security guard really popped him. I guess he broke some teeth and bloodied him up pretty good. And they're looking for the guy because he ran. But there's some damn premeditation there for you when you are thinking to yourself, well, let me put a security guard costume on. For all we know, before Chris Redd's limo pulled up, he was probably directing people, please stand behind this barrier here. Please, yes, Mr. Redd will be here. He's standing there pretending to be a security guard, and Chris Redd gets out of the car, and the guy pops him and then runs off. This is some new thing or something where now we're attacking performers. Oh, and I have one more audio clip for you here today, given the fact that we are, 11 days away from the midterms. And even though the country got a much better than expected economic report yesterday, it's probably too little too late. But this is a clip from Jimmy Fallon.
Guys, of course, it's election season, and there's a weird story from Pennsylvania. Apparently, a Democrat named Mike Doyle is retiring from Congress, and the Republican candidate to replace him is actually named Mike Doyle. Well, the outgoing Democrat Mike Doyle doesn't want the Republican Mike Doyle to win his seat, so he just released this ad. Take a look.
I'm Mike Doyle, and I approve this message. Mike Doyle says he'll take care of Pennsylvania voters, but can we really trust someone like Mike Doyle? Hi, I'm Mike Doyle, and I'm a name you can trust, unlike Mike Doyle. So listen to me, Mike Doyle, but stay the hell away from Mike Doyle. On election day, don't vote for this man, Mike Doyle. No, wait, that's me. Avoid this guy. Wait, is that me or him? I don't even know anymore.
This has been a message from the Mike Doyle Against Mike Doyle PAC.
All right, what else we got here? Revolver, special edition, arguably one of the better Beatles albums, 1966. Early versions and new mixes of the songs that's coming out today. Savage Salvation. It's going to be a movie with Robert De Niro, John Malkovich, and Jack Huston. Pretty badass looking thing. The trailer is available for you. I would put it on my Facebook page, but as you know, I have been disciplined for putting something up that I got from Facebook. So you won't see posts from me for a while. The Yellowstone prequel series, 1923, with Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren, is going to premiere on December 18th. The Arch was completed on this date in 1965, 57 years ago. Birthdays this weekend, what do we got? Joaquin Phoenix, 48. Brad Paisley, 50. Julia Roberts, 55. Andy Richter, 56. Jamie Gertz, does everybody remember her from Square Pegs? And then she was in 16 Candles, The Lost Boys, Less Than Zero. She was also Gary Cole's wife on Entourage. She is 57. Daphne Zuniga, it's another actress from the 80s that sort of disappeared. Melrose Place, she was Princess Vespa in Spaceballs, The Sure Thing. She is 60 today. Bill Gates, 67. Caitlyn Jenner, 73. At least parts of her. Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue and also the second Die Hard movie, 78 today. Birthdays for Saturday, Gabrielle Union, 50. Winona Ryder, 51. Dan Castellaneta, the voice of Homer Simpson, who I went to school with. He was a freshman when I was a senior. He is 65 today. Kate Jackson, one of Charlie's Angels, 74. Richard Dreyfuss, 75. On Sunday, Ashley Graham, plus-sized model, 35. Ivanka Trump, 41. Kevin Pollak, 65. One of the few guests we've ever had trouble with. Oddly enough, another person we had trouble with, Grace Slick, is 83 on Sunday. She was booked for our show a couple of years back, and we were promoting the crap out of it. We had so many questions we wanted to ask her. You, man, and I were like, oh, ask her this, or ask her this. It would stunk this and everything. And about a half an hour before the interview, we got a call from her public relations people, and they're like, she got an opportunity to be on TV, so she's going to cancel the radio interview. Bye. I'm like, great. First of all, she's going to show up on the set of Channel 4, Channel 2, whatever it was, and they're going to ask stupid questions because they're not going to really know what we know. In fact, it's pretty much always embarrassing when rock stars show up on TV stations on local news because you get some little Catholic schoolgirl like Claire Kellett or something. And I like Claire. I've met her a couple of times. She's a very sweet gal, very nice. And, you know, she's not my cup of tea, but at least there's some solidification of the staff over at Channel 4 with her. She's got to have been there for 10 years by now, maybe even longer than that. And also, she doesn't really do a lot to embarrass herself. So in this era of local newscasters on local TV. If I can say that about her, well, then she's way ahead of the game, because there's some awful shit on local TV right now. And I hear Grace Slick, 83. We're like, hey, who's been playing her records for the last 50 years? The TV station? No, I don't think so. So she's a persona non grata as far as I'm concerned. Harry Hamlin, L.A. Law, 71. And Henry Winkler, the Fonz, is 77 on Sunday. Speaking of people who embarrass themselves on TV, this Joy Behar, I think she's 80 now. I will say this, she looks good for 80. Again, not my cup of tea, but 80 years old. But she continues to insist that she's had a menage a trois with ghosts. And she sounds serious about it. See, this is what's wrong with America right now. We're putting crackpots on TV. And then you have Dolly Parton. I love this quote. How about this? Here's what Dolly Parton said. I'm not offended by blonde jokes because I know I'm not dumb. And I also know I'm not blonde. It's fantastic. I may have mentioned this yesterday, but it's worth repeating. The weather over the weekend looks pretty good, except for maybe late Saturday, but especially Sunday. Sunday be sort of a wet day. But then next week, Monday, 65, and then temperatures in the low to mid-70s the rest of the week. That's going to be the first week of November. And are they doing Kimswick again this year? Are they doing the Apple Butter Festival this year? I know they've had trouble getting away with that thing. I got to check out the website, see if I remember it. Oh, yeah, cityofkimswick.org. Let me see what it says. I don't see anything here about it. I see stuff from 2021, but it says here the 2022 Kimswick Strawberry Festival in June, but there's nothing about the Apple Butter Festival. All right, I'll find out about that. I'll let you know next week. Connie, where are you? If you are trying to decide who you're going to vote for in 11 days and you're thinking to yourself, what is the real story about this inflation thing? Well, in the United States, the rate of inflation is 8.2%. In Mexico, 8.7%. Italy, 8.9%. Spain, 8.9%. Europe, 9.9%. Germany, 10%. In the UK, 10.1%. Russia, 13.7%. The Netherlands, 14.5%. Argentina, 83%. And in Turkey, 83.45% rate of inflation. And you have so many political ads running right now that, again, refer to gas prices and try to stick Joe Biden with the idea that the gas prices are high, when anybody with a brain knows the president of the United States has virtually nothing to do with the price of gasoline. And no, opening up the pipeline isn't going to do shit. Now, if you want to go after Joe Biden for other stuff, you can. But on the gasoline thing, and really the rate of inflation, that's the Fed sort of riding that wave and controlling things to whatever extent they can control it. They're doing a pretty good job of pushing things down now, which is what the economy needed. You want to go after a politician, go after him for the right reasons. Tomorrow is National Cat Day, when we're supposed to take time to appreciate little dust mops. But it might be a little harder to do after you hear this number. A poll found you spend $25,000 on your cat over the course of its life. $1,300 a year on food, $108 on toys, $111 for the average vet bill, $764 to replace furniture they scratch up, clothing like when they snag with their claws, rugs and carpets from scratching or puking, tearing up your sofa, drinking glasses because they knock them off the table, chairs, table legs, power cables, drapes, your phone because they knock it off the table, hardwood floors. Get your cats declawed and then keep them inside. I know there are people who don't agree with that, but I've had cats almost my entire life, going all the way back to the time that I was a kid. Hardly ever been a time in my life where I haven't had a putty tat hanging around the house. Get him to claw, then you have to worry about all that damage. Keep him in the house, and you don't have to worry about them being injured by, you know, I lived out in Chesterfield, not too far from the river, And we had all sorts of predators out there. There's no way I was going to let my cats out. And whatever you do, for God's sakes, if you have a cat declawed, don't let them out. They can't defend themselves anymore. They can't climb up trees and stuff like that. You'd have to take a test before you're able to pick up an animal at the shelter. And Elon Musk says Twitter won't be a free-for-all hellscape. Those are his words. By the way, if that's what you're into, there's always Walmart on Black Friday. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, October 28th, 22 is a wrap. 11 days until the midterms and the beginning of the end. We are here every weekday morning right about this time at jconline.com. Absolutely free. Please spread the word if you can. We only do politics around here when it's absolutely unavoidable. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. On Facebook, you'll see some stuff. The Showgram with JC Corcoran, even though I can't post anything for like another 3 weeks. But what are you going to do, right? Have a great weekend, everybody. Do our Halloween show on Monday. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.